This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Yesterday, we mentioned that charming selfie taken by Red Sox slugger David Ortiz at the White House. And let's face it, it's a great picture. Ortiz and President Obama with their great big grins, Obama holding a Sox jersey with his name on it, all very retweetable, which it was more than 18,000 times, including by us, within an hour of Ortiz posting it on his Twitter feed. Well, today we find out that there was more to that moment than just jovial spontaneity. Turns out that Ortiz has an endorsement deal with mobile giant Samsung, which in some way led to yesterday's wildly viral selfie with the president. It was a great moment for the Sox and an advertising coup for Samsung. Joining me now to talk more about selfies, celebrity, and modern-day marketing is David Gerzoff-Richard. He's a professor of marketing at Emerson College, and he joins us in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So, David, I see in today's Globe that Samsung told the paper that, quote, when we heard about the visit to the White House, we worked with David Ortiz, and the team on how to share images with fans. So was this selfie more of a marketing coup than anything else?
Let's just back up. Samsung didn't learn that David Ortiz was going to be at the White House. This is history repeating itself over and over again. The last 10 years of champion teams go to the White House, right? So then from a marketing perspective, the marketing team takes a step back and says, who on the Red Sox is the most outspoken, outstanding person that we think is going to get in front of Obama? It would be Ortiz.
It's going to be Big Poppy. He's the guy.
Right.
Yeah. And so those two things coming together, I mean, still makes the way you're describing it still makes me think like, all right, so Samsung took advantage of a moment that they knew was going to happen. So it is marketing.
So this is definitely marketing. And what it is a trend hack. And a trend hack is when you have multiple trends intersecting and taking advantage of that. So trend one, championship teams going to the White House, right? Trend two is the notion that you have a president who takes selfies, right? There's a history of that with Obama. Having players that take selfies, there's certainly a history of Big Poppy doing that. And this overlap, knowing that that is a moment that even for someone like Big Poppy is a special one-of-a-time moment where you're at the White House and you're meeting the president. That's not something that happens even if you're a major league slugger every day.
Right. I mean, and also we should say that it's a great picture. I mean, it turns out to be well composed. They've both got those winning smiles. You can see all the faces of the other Sox behind them. I mean, does that make a difference? It could have been a lousy one, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to take a lousy picture with some of these point-and-click phones. And, you know, we have no idea what went on behind the scenes. There could have been part of this contract with Big Poppy and Samsung is an hour-long selfie session that teaches you how to, you know, take the best selfie to hit it out of the park.
I mean, is that done with athletes who have these endorsement deals with companies like Samsung?
Oh, all the time. If you look at, another local athlete is Julian Edelman. Now, Julian Edelman is very, very tech savvy. And so Google, when they started looking at getting celebrities to endorse and use their technology, picked only two NFL football players to give Google Glass. This is the eyeglasses with the integrated computer into it, right? So Julian Edelman is only one of two NFL players running around with this, right? And so why? Because he's someone that understands social media and tweets a lot and really gets the technology.
Okay. So what I found to be so interesting about yesterday's moment is that in David Ortiz's original tweet where the selfie was attached with the president, there's no mention whatsoever of Samsung. Obviously, you don't see the phone because the picture was taken by the phone. It's only sort of later in the Twitter cycle upon, you know, retweets by Samsung itself that the name of the company shows up. So, and yet we're calling this an advertising coup for the company.
It's brand association, and that's really what they're going for. Think about, you know, the sneakers that NBA players wear, right? You don't, when you're watching a game, you don't hear that, you know, what pair of sneakers, you know, Shaq is wearing, right? But once he wins a championship, everybody wants to go out and buy the sneakers that the champions wore. Or when you win the championship, there's the old, you know, I'm going to Disney World, right? You know, it's thinking ahead and backing the right horses, if you will.
Mm. And I noticed today also that, in just a couple of paragraphs where in at least the Globe's reporting, The name of the actual device shows up a lot. I mean, the Samsung PR person, I guess, who spoke to the Globe was very much on message. Is that part of the sort of overall cycle of these kinds of social media marketing campaigns?
Oh, they have to be, because as you mentioned, it wasn't the Note 3 is not included in the actual tweet. So where do you talk about this new phone by Samsung? It's in all the media coverage that, you know, that washes over us afterwards, right? So if you do a Google search on David Ortiz and selfie, you will find that there's over, I think it's like 1,600 hits now that include the word Samsung, Ortiz, and selfie.
Wow. So they're getting a lot of play out of this. I mean, so if you're a Samsung marketing VP right now, are you happy with this moment? Did they get their money's worth, whatever money they spent?
You hit it out of the park, right? So if you look at, again, that Google search and the play that this story is getting, the fact that we're talking about it on air right now, that the Globe reported on it, it's beyond just Boston. The Washington Post covered it. You know, West Coast papers have covered this. If you were to place an advertising spend dollar on that, it would well far exceed whatever agreement they have with David Ortiz.
Right. Have we reached a point in terms of the intersection of social media marketing and daily lives where even the president of the United States may find himself an inadvertent prop in a marketing campaign?
I think presidents of the United States have found themselves as inadvertent props for quite some time. It's just this is a new platform that they're finding themselves on, right? So the social media, the nice thing about social media is it's bidirectional. And what that means, as opposed to, say, like a radio broadcast, which is, you know, unidirectional, is that there's a lot of, you know, back and forth and conversation. And it gives just about anyone a platform, including a sports athlete. And once that happens, it creates multiple opportunities for them beyond just that endorsement of, say, a car company or a drink, right? So now they can be promoting whatever it is that they're passionate about. And over time, the brands can find the athletes that are talking about what's relevant to their brand, and you can tap into it. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. The Oscars, for example, is another perfect example of that. It's not that, you know, someone came up with this great idea, like, oh, let's have, you know, Ellen do a selfie. Ellen's been doing selfies for a while, right? You know, she's a very great early adopter of social media and is very savvy in the way that she uses it. So it really doesn't take a brainiac to take it the extra step to say, hey, let's just hand her one of our phones and have her use our phone instead of her own, right?
Right. Well,
but let's make it her phone.
And by doing that, they're getting, I guess the multiplier effect is enormous over time.
Oh, certainly, yes. Yeah, when it's social media, it's more than multiplier. It's, you know, an exponentializer.
Exponentializer. Well, David Gerzoff-Richard is a professor of marketing at Emerson College and president of Big Fish Marketing as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always great to be here.
Okay. Well, joining me now to talk more about that Ortiz selfie, but more importantly, the actual team for which Big Poppy plays, we're joined now by Doug Tribou of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Doug.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so you're actually a dyed-in-the-wool true blue sports guy, but let me ask you, what did you make of the fact that David Ortiz snapped that winning selfie with the president?
Well, if the word selfie is in the Oxford Dictionary, which it was recently added, I think it's, you know, fair game to take a selfie with anybody. And the marketing thing is a two-way street, right? Presidents choose to appear with sports teams for a reason. There's some positive vibe, some not apolitical feel-good stuff that goes on there, too. So, hey, if you get a chance to take a picture of yourself with the president and carry it around in your pocket, I think you ought to take it.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you if you wanted to take a Radio Boston selfie right now, but we frown upon having phones in the studio. So sorry, listeners, or maybe you're like wiping your brow saying, thank goodness. But this isn't the first time that a sports team has made a scene, for lack of a better term, at the White House.
Well, no. I mean, of course, we famously had Tim Thomas skipping the visit with the Bruins when they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago for political reasons. And in 1925, this is my favorite story of these stories, the Chicago Bears went to visit, actually, George Halas, the head coach, and their star player, Red Grange, went to the White House to meet Calvin Coolidge. Cool Cal took it all in stride, greeted them, and said, how are you, young gentlemen? I have always admired animal acts. Completely unaware of the early day NFL and the Bears. And apparently he thought they were running a bear show.
Oh my God.
So a little different environment for the Red Sox.
Oh, dear. Cool Cal. Exactly. Okay. Well, let's talk about actual sports here now and the Red Sox. We just experienced the glory of opening day. How's the team doing so far?
Well, not a hot start. The Red Sox are 0-1, and I think the big question for them this year is how did the younger players that are on the roster respond? Last year, the key for them was they got top career performances out of some of those new acquisitions, guys like Mike Napoli. Now you've got Xander Bogaerts for a full season. If Jackie Bradley Jr. can stay in the lineup, he'll be up for a full year. Can Will Middlebrooks, the third baseman, get back to the form that he had in 2012 when he first got started with the team? They need some of those young guys to have career years to do it again, I think.
All right. So in classic Red Sox tradition, though, after one game, we're already mourning the season.
Right. All right. But also celebrating that the Yankees are also 0-1, right?
Okay. All right, let's talk for a second about March Madness and the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We're in the Final Four. UConn is one of those teams. They play Florida on Saturday night. How do you like their chances?
I think they're in as good a shape as anybody. This is the time where anything can happen. It's not a crazy matchup. You've got Florida is a 1 seed. You've got UConn as a 7 seed. So I think that UConn has primed itself, and that's a program that's used to winning. This is not a haven't been there before kind of team. This is a team that's got what it takes to do it. So I think it's really just going to be one of those hopefully great basketball games.
And one of the reasons why a lot of us are really interested in keeping our eyes on UConn is because of one player in particular, Shabazz Napier. He's been given a very high award that the sport offers, and he's also got some local roots. Tell us about him.
Well, he's a wooden All-American, which is great, and he is playing at a top level at a perfect time. He's a senior, but he's got deep Boston ties. Grew up in Roxbury, played at the Roxbury YMCA. In high school, he played for a couple of years in Charlestown and then played at Lawrence Academy. No matter how things go against Florida, this is a capper to his career in UConn. This is a great way to close it out and a shining moment for a New England player on a New England team at the highest level of college basketball.
Great story. We wish him and UConn all the luck in the world. Well, Doug Tribou of NPR's Only a Game, thanks so much.
Thanks, Meghna.
And of course, Only a Game airs every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. right here on WBUR. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.